Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Species 8472. The question is, why are they training to pose as human beings?
Back in the 20th century, the Soviets used to build American towns to train their agents to infiltrate the United States. Species 8472 could be doing the same thing.
They're going to infiltrate the Alpha Quadrant.
Maybe they already have.
Tom's right. How else could they have gathered their information about us?
Perhaps they acquired it from the Borg.
Doesn't matter how they got their data. We need to find out what they intend to do with it.
If our previous experience is any indication, they will try to destroy Earth.
A logical assumption. They did threaten to purge our galaxy of all life.
Tuvok, keep working on a way to target their habitat's power source. We're going to need nanoprobe warheads and plenty of them. 7C to it.
Yes, Captain.
In the meantime, I've got a date to keep.
Where were we? Okay.
Star Trek.
The It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Voyager. Welcome aboard.
Yes, thank you. Welcome.
Welcome to Earth.
Thanks, Captain.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Miami. Bienvenido a Miami.
All right.
Questions, comments, bring them to me.
Okay. Yeah, it is going to be a bit of a silly episode, as you can tell.
Welcome to Earth.
All right. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. That's where we're at.
Yep.
Hello.
We have work to do.
Speaking of Star Trek, do you think this whole Star Trek thing's going to be a fad? You think it's a fad? This whole
zoom out far enough on the timeline, like it still has a chance to be.
How far out do you have to zoom?
That's a question.
Because it's been around for a bunch of years.
Yeah.
So a lot of years.
Was
60?
Would you consider
66? Yeah.
Would you consider like classical music a fad? You know, all those eras of music, Baroque, Romantic.
That's true. Yeah.
All those things.
There's different.
All right.
Those fads? Could you call them fads? If you go out far enough, you could call it a fad, I guess. But they kind of led into each. But they kind
of
led into each other. So maybe not real. Well, I mean, in context of music, you could call it a fad. So it also, we need to know our scope. We need to know our zoom level.
Yeah.
We need to know our zoom level.
That
and
gets pretty complicated.
We need to know our zoom level
you
and our.
No, musicological.
We need to know our zoom level and our scope. That's what we need
yes.
to know in order to determine whether it's a fad. Those
a
are
can
two
of
dimensions.
Worms, baby.
If you provide those two dimensions for me, I will be able to more accurately answer your question. But what do you guys think? That's what I really want to know. That's what everyone wants to know is what you guys think.
Did you want to know what we thought?
I got to tell you what I think is that I made one of my classic Patrick faux pas in making what I had intended to be sort of an offhand comment.
Talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing.
That gave Dan some verbal purchase to grab onto.
Some Ray purchase?
Ray purchase.
That's a Toast to London
dude,
joke.
Yeah,
that's
very you don't
good.
Watch that
I don't
show.
Even watch that show.
I'm proud of you, Dan.
Wow,
that's
dude.
A really good,
very good sir.
Reference.
I thought it would be prudent to maximize their efficiency.
Toast of London is one of my favorite programs.
I know.
I am
paying attention, even though I haven't watched it.
Indeed. But you know who's not paying attention? The people
listening to this
who
podcast.
Stopped listening to this episode about 3 minutes ago.
I'm not so sure.
Ray purchase.
Okay. So, to the audience that has remained and toughed it out, beginning, we are indeed this week going to discuss the Star Trek Voyager episode, In the Flesh.
Computer, lights.
Yes, come in.
Those weren't done with the same kind of planning and efficiency in which I normally do this out.
No, I wasn't going to comment because last week I asked some questions about what I perceived to be some nonsense.
It's really hard to do this right all the time, Patrick. Patrick, it's not easy to do this. There's going to be some stinkers out there.
You put a lot of pressure on me, man.
You know, Even baseball players like only hit it less than half the time, you know. Well, way less than half the time, mostly a quarter of the time.
There you go, audience. This is what your expectation is.
All right.
We are only obligated to entertain you approximately 25 to 30% of the time over the next 80, 85 minutes or so.
No argument there.
Indeed. Okay, so yes, we're going to be talking about the old In the Flesh.
In the Flesh.
Episode of...
In the Flesh with Dave...
Star Trek
In
Origin.
The Flesh with David Koresh. In the Flesh with David Koresh.
I keep saying David Koresh.
Yeah. In the Flesh with David Koresh.
I should hope not.
Dan's a little, what's the term?
Put on your mesh first. Put on your mesh shirt, eat a fish. Okay. Wait, was it... What was the first word? I said...
David Koresh?
What was before that? Was
I don't know, Dan, because it's a bunch of nonsense.
In the flesh. Yeah, here it is. Here's the song.
You're just saying a bunch of crazy things.
Here's the song. In the Flesh with David Koresh. On my mesh shirt and eat a fish.
David Koresh has no flesh.
In the flesh.
Because he is dead.
In the flesh with David Koresh. Gonna put on my mesh shirt.
30 years.
I'm singing. In the flesh with David Koresh. Gonna put on my mesh shirt and eat some fish. There you go. I did it.
Hell yeah. Fesh.
I don't know what fesh is, but okay. Star Trek.
It's a risk I'm willing to take.
It's got Star Trek.
We're going to talk about this episode right now.
Voyager.
The fad known.
We're starting the discussion.
Fad as described by Patrick. Fad Star Trek. Yeah. Fad.
Yes, indeed. Dan, this might please you. I want to start doing this at the beginning episodes, at least when I remember.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell us, Dan, if there are A, any lists... B, any duties or no duties, and C, any that's in orders.
Is this something...
Regular listeners will know what I'm talking about. New listeners will figure it out through context clues.
It's an inference.
Is this a new thing you're trying out, is to organize these ahead of time?
Yes, I want to be fair to you so that I'm not getting frustrated when you come up with a 30-point list.
We want to make time
one minute
for
left
this
in the episode and be like, I forgot about this. there's this list I have. How many times each character farted?
Yeah.
Are there any lists?
Well, there's not really a list. I have a list called things, and I don't think I... And it's 7 points. But like most of them are just kind of like not very interesting. I think I wrote them down for some reason.
Okay, so now we're obligated to go through those at some point in tonight's episode.
To my very like average, mediocre things list.
It's a list. I laughed at the title.
I like things.
And the fact that you've downplayed it.
Things are good,
I think.
It can only go up.
It kind of makes me hope that you're telling the truth. So at the end of it, we can say we should have listened to you, Dan.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
Okay, are there any duties or no duty?
There is one duty or no duty.
Okay great. That's a good thing to keep in our back pocket. Hey, audience, something to look forward to. Dan might spring out with the old duty or no duty at any moment. Are there any that's in orders?
No, but there is a not that's in order.
But what? Okay. Wow. Hey, audience, there you go.
Questions, hey, comments. Bring them to me.
You know what Dan's doing? Dan's making up for that first 6 minutes of the podcast where he went temporarily crazy.
What, when I was talking about In the Flesh with David Koresh, gonna put on a mesh shirt and eat some fesh. Eat some fesh.
You've recovered somewhat, Dan.
John Tesh.
Oh,
no. He was on Star Trek TNG. He played a Q, didn't he?
Whoa, really?
Wasn't he a Q? Or no, where that was Corbin Burnson.
Was Corbin
Burnson. No! I apologize.
That is not possible.
I've got John Tesh, Corbin Burnson.
Sometimes those fellas occupy a similar space.
Sort of, yeah.
What are you trying to prove, young lady?
They look the same.
Okay, so Dan's got some surprises in store for us.
Well, not really surprises, only half surprises.
Well,
some semi-prizes.
Well, they're not... Okay.
Some
I'm never surprised
by
them.
Something to look forward to.
Sermi prizes. They're called Sermi because they're like surprise. They're like a Sermi. It's a semi-surprise, so it's a Sermi prize.
I am uncomfortable...
That's like some kind of virtual colonoscopy.
With that term that you have just coined, I'm uncomfortable with that term.
You're 100% human.
Yeah.
Sermi prize. Yeah, okay. Sermi prize.
Let's keep going.
Let's keep going. So
it scares the hell out of me.
Before we get into the plot of the episode, there are some notable guest actors.
Whoop.
And so I thought
improbable.
Why don't we mention some of these notable guest actors. The first, of course, I think, being Ray Walston as Boothby. Mm.
Boothby!
Boothby.
We'll remember from TNG and is referenced at various other times in the Star Trek canon.
So, again, I don't know if this is the time to ask this question or not, but like, I'm assuming that none of these Starfleet characters are characters we've seen before. But
except for Boothby.
But Boothby, well, we've never seen Boothby.
No,
before.
We've seen Boothby.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
TNG.
So yeah, we have seen Boothby. Guy.
Picard talks to him at one point.
Oh, right.
Boothby's like a big thing.
Yeah. He's referenced other times, but Picard talks to Boothby. I believe it's when Wesley goes to Starfleet.
So what's his deal? He's never been an officer or anything. He's just been a groundskeeper for like 35 years.
He just works for
civil service. I'm just
correcting the number because otherwise people email.
What did I say? 34?
You said 34, which is perfect. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
Nah.
But we will get the emails. We'll get the blue sky skeets or whatever they call them.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, so Boothby, he's just the groundskeeper for 54 years, my apologies. And for some reason, like, he has that sort of honorary command over the cadets and shit, you know? Because he says, "Cadet, come over here." He says that when he goes,
of course, in this context, he actually has command over them as a species.
Yeah, right, exactly. But the character...
Did you like that little joke?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Took you a second.
Yeah.
What the audience didn't see is Dan not only like paused and looked at me,
he did
that thing where he like a fucking bird of prey where he turns his face all sideways and was all like,
disease!
You!
Humans!
He had his wings out.
Dan flapped on me.
Targ manure, every word of it.
Targ manure.
All right.
The character that 847... Oh, shit. Now you got me thinking about it.
8675309.
Don't do that!
Targ manure, every word of it.
You mean 8472?
Yeah, okay. So, like, the character of Boothby, like, he says that in character, the 8472 in Boothby character says to a cadet, he goes, "Cadet, take our pictures, will you?" You know, he's like bossing them around and shit. And then
that's definitely Boothby authority, not 8472 authority.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so, but he's not an officer, but he can still pull that shit off. Because Archer, are we supposed to think there's any relation? No.
Well, yeah, they couldn't because Enterprise didn't exist yet.
But they might have, but did they have the character of Archer though, like, you know, like in the lore?
Nope.
So they never had a first
Captain Archer. Never existed before that,
so they never had as a first they never talked about the first captain of the Enterprise.
It was Robert Averill. Robert Averill was the first, because the first Enterprise was the one that Kirk commanded.
I guess what I meant is they retconned
The character of Archer then, basically, to make him the first captain.
But because it's a different, it's a previous Enterprise. It's like an even older Enterprise.
Yeah, no, I know. And that was my question. My question was the very first, I said the first Enterprise, and you started mentioning the other Enterprise. I'm talking about the very first Enterprise. Yeah. In the Star Trek lore, has there ever been a reference to the very first captain of the Enterprise?
Are you talking about the sailing ship, the Enterprise?
The spaceships. Archer, Captain Archer. Now, you know.
Talking about the space shuttle?
My point is, I think it's interesting that they never brought
aircraft carrier.
I think it's interesting that they never brought up the idea of the very first captain of the very first Enterprise.
What Jesse and I are saying is that they did, but what they retconned was that there were previous Enterprises that they didn't. Like, previously, the first Enterprise was Starship Enterprise, was the Starship Enterprise that we know and love, commanded by Captain Robert Averill.
Well, did they ever specifically say that there were no Enterprises before it? Like,
they didn't specifically say that.
So it's not really a retcon.
In Star Trek,
they added to
because
it. They added to
the
it.
Enterprise is named after like famous other ship,
including other spaceships. There was in Star Trek: The Motion Picture, in the Wall of Enterprises, that included the sailing ship. It included the aircraft carrier.
My point,
the space shuttle. It had a spaceship, but it was like a circle spaceship.
But my new point is that it's not really a retcon. They just added to
sure.
Okay.
Sword.
Don't get sassy with me, young lady.
Okay, actors. Let's talk about these actors. Ray Walston plays Boothby. He will be familiar to some folks as Mr. Hand from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Mr. Hand.
Right.
Mr. Hand. It's like, Hand.
He's like, what do you think you're doing, Mr. Spicoli? And Spicoli's like, learning about Cuba, having some food, because he ordered pizza to the classroom.
He talks about, yeah,
classic Spicoli.
Was he in the Martian show?
Yes, My Favorite Martian. He was talking in that movie about like catching some tasty waves. I was like,
Spicoli was, not Mr. Hand.
No, not Mr. Hand. Get the fuck out of here.
He was in Picket Fences, My Favorite Martian, a bunch of other things, but most importantly, he was in Project Elf. Do you remember Project Elf?
I forgot about it, but I know at some point I remember.
It was like the TV movie, I believe, because remember Elf got canceled right after a season finale, where he was taken by the government, and it was a horrific, upsetting finale. And then so nobody knew what happened, and I think they made this TV movie Project Elf to explain how he got out of the clutches of the wicked government.
I totally forgot about Project Elf.
Yeah. So Ray Walton, I'm not so sure. Then Admiral Bullock, who's not a big character in here, but he's worth mentioning
because
he's played by Tucker Smallwood. Who's been in a lot of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Seinfeld, he was a Zindi on Enterprise.
We must not negotiate with these creatures.
On X-Files, he was in that episode Home. Do you remember that episode?
Irrelevant.
Home. He played Sheriff Andy Taylor.
Welcome to Earth.
Home is considered one of the most grotesque and awful X-Files episodes. It was banned on Fox for many years.
Oh, is that one about like the people out in the rural area?
The incest family.
Yeah, right.
The incest family monster people.
I was reading that he had just had facial surgery.
Feel that?
He thought he was going to play an alien, so he was like, it doesn't matter, they're going to put a bunch of makeup on me, but he was an alien.
In this episode?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I hadn't heard that.
We know, there's been an imposter on board.
He was also in Space Above and Beyond, which was a one-season, pretty awesome show that sadly got canceled. It was kind of like proto-Battlestar Galactica. Good show.
Proto-Star
Galactica. Yeah, Tucker Smallwood's great. Speaking of
Ambassador Nellix. It's Neelix, sir. Ambassador Nellix.
Speaking of Battlestar Galactica, we also have the aforementioned Valerie Archer, played by Kate Vernon, who played Ellen Ty on Battlestar Galactica. That was Colonel Ty's wife.
Oh.
She was also on Falcon Crest.
Wow, weird.
Good enough for me.
Every time I either see Falcon Crest written out in text form, or if I'm lucky enough to catch the opening theme song on YouTube or something like that, it really makes me want to do a Falcon Crest podcast.
Really?
It's got Falcon Crest.
That show's what, from the 80s or something?
Yeah, and the thing is I don't have any interest in the story of Falcon Crest. I only have interest in talking about a show called
It sounds badass.
Falcon Crest.
Falcon Crest.
Wow.
The music is
some
is
serious
awesome.
Heraldry.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, so she's cool.
No argument there.
But there's some other famous people involved in this business.
Totally.
Do you know who plays
Red Alert? All hands to battle stations.
Who played Ensign David Gentry, who turned out to be species 8472 in disguise?
That guy.
Do either of you know who he is?
Don't touch me. What are you doing?
I can't really answer that, but he did look a little familiar.
Do you know, Dan?
You're not a Romulan double agent, are you, son?
Oops, that wasn't him. That was the other guy. Why did I have that marked as him? I spelled Gent. Agent. In the search thing, I wrote Gent, and that's an agent in the...
Oh, classic. Boolean searches, man.
Goddamn
Where am I? Why have you brought me here?
That's right.
David. Rank Ensign, Starfleet Service Number 99 Beta 3278.
Name, rank, and serial number.
Yeah. Well,
they did a few of those in this episode. They also did
Chakotay, rank, commander, Starfleet Service Number 47 Alpha 612, first officer USS Voyager.
And then Chakotay.
Species 8472, origin. Fluidic space.
And that's all he has to say about that one. It's just fluidic space.
How come Chakotay has a number? He's Maquis.
Well, you know, he also,
he
they
used
thought,
to have a
they,
number.
They probably is his fake.
They gave him a
number
on Voyager.
There were a lot of. I noticed there were a lot of like clappity clip, clippity clop, like foot things in the sound effects in this episode.
The Foley guy was going nuts that day.
Yeah,
they'll do that from time to time.
Yeah,
nuts Foley.
They will.
But Valerie
Foley
Archer,
nuts?
Run along.
Trying to get to Valerie Archer, Kate Vernon. Falcon.
So this is no relation to Scott Bakula.
I'm sorry. We already talked about Valerie Archer.
But this episode
we never came up to
a Carl Sagan. So.
I still haven't told you who Ensign David Gentry was played by.
Well,
it's interesting.
I'm waiting.
I'm trying to get there.
Oh,
you're distracting me and confusing me.
Do it.
And I'm making podcasting errors.
More.
Unforced. He's doing your thing.
Actually, I was about to say unforced errors,
but can't trust them. We have to prepare for the
being
worst.
Forced by your crazy nonsense. All right, it was.
We'll be fine.
Ancient gentry. I find this interesting. I find this very interesting.
I know. Notice I haven't tried to stop you. You start ranting, and then you start ranting at your own rant.
I bet.
And I'm just back here. I'm like, okay, I'm chilling.
I bet it's going to be interesting if I actually get to fucking hear it.
He ranted, and then he stopped, and then he ranted at his rant.
I know. It's wild.
Jesse's right. The part of Dan tonight is being played by Patrick.
An unfortunate exception.
Yes. No, he was played by Zach Galligan.
And Galliganakis?
No, Zach Galligan.
Zach Gilligan?
No, Zach Galligan. And why I find this interesting is because I know you might not recognize the name, but you'll recognize who he is in but a moment.
But a moment.
But I find it interesting that this guy, of all guys, has such a small part given who he is. At least in. Anyway, I'll just say who he is.
You first.
Zach Galligan. Is most famous, most known.
Cat got your tongue?
No. Zach's
keep talking, son.
Zach's got my tongue.
Take it easy, Harry.
Oh, Tom, we'll get to you later. Zach Galligan played Billy.
Billy. Oh, Billy.
In the great.
Oh, Billy.
He played Billy. In the Gremlins movies.
Oh.
He's the main guy. He's the main guy from Gremlins. He worked at a bank.
Billy.
He fought Gremlins, and then he worked in a office building and fought Gremlins there. Except that had like a lady Gremlin and a smart Gremlin.
His dad was a wacky inventor.
Yeah, his dad was a goofy-ass inventor.
Smokeless asterisk.
Can't feed him after midnight.
Smoke if you got him.
You can feed him before midnight, but not after.
Oh, did you catch? By the way, speaking of
makes
which,
no sense.
Speaking of which, and Dan, I don't know if you got this. I don't know if you got this, Dan. But now that you know, now everyone, you, the audience, everybody knows that Zach Galligan played Ensign Gentry, and in other movies, he played the Billy from the Gremlins, and the Gremlins have the whole midnight stuff. Do you think that the line "Be home before midnight"? Do you think that's a? Do you think that was kind of sort of a Gremlins joke?
No.
That is not possible.
Maybe it was a Cinderella joke.
I mean, I'm not saying it was a Gremlins joke because it's kind of like a slant joke or a
slant joke
or like a slightly off, not off color, off sides. No. Well, it's not a direct joke. It's mentions midnight in close context with the guy who was in Gremlins.
Interesting.
Be home before midnight. They've been saying that shit since the dawn of midnight.
But you're not supposed to feed the Gremlins after midnight.
Yeah, there was probably the other way around. It was probably they did the after midnight because they already said be home before midnight.
They didn't say anything about not eating after. I'm saying he says be home before midnight. This guy was in Gremlins, and in Gremlins you're not supposed to feed them after midnight. Because both
it's just midnight.
Oh, they mentioned the word midnight.
She did say be home before midnight. I didn't remember her saying that.
Yeah,
I thought you were saying that the idea of parents telling their kids to be home before midnight came from the Gremlins movie. I thought that's what you were, Patrick.
That was not what I was saying.
Okay,
where did you get that from,
Captain J? I should have been explicit. I apologize. Where
do you come up with this stuff?
I'm not the one who came up with it. It was him.
No.
No, no!
You invented a whole bunch of stuff.
I didn't invent it. I just misheard what he said.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
All right.
Do I think that? I don't know. That's probably not.
I don't know.
You're 100% human.
Indeed. We still have a little time to go before the break where we can figure things out.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you know who's not on this episode?
A lot of people are not. Well.
It's Neelix, sir.
That guy?
Well, B'Elanna's not on it.
Oh, yeah. Is she in it at all?
B'Elanna's on it.
She must not.
I mean, I don't remember much B'Elanna.
I don't recall seeing her.
That's good.
There's a much Neelix.
There's only
a little bit of Neelix.
There's Neelix at the very end when they're doing a callback to like the opening when Bullock is being, oh, you're welcome to Earth, and da, 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 da. And he does that again at the end of the episode, except instead of cadets, there's like Neelix and a few other people. Exactly. That's the only time we see.
And he calls him Neelix.
Ambassador Neelix.
Yeah, right.
Neelix.
But you're right. There's no B'Elanna.
And what is he? He's all like
B'Elanna's on it.
When you first see him, and there's like that other Vulcan officer, and he's like, you can direct all your questions to this guy, and he looks all like
questions, comments,
Bring them to me.
Said bring them to him.
Yeah. But no, but then the following line is problems.
Problems.
Bring them to that guy.
It was problems. Yeah, yeah, problem.
Okay. Which is kind of funny. Yeah. But you figure that's modeled off of an experience
from Gremlins.
One of the writers or some experience related to something that's happened to somebody in the military is my bet. I said that very quickly.
Like people that actually went to Starfleet Academy.
Yes, people who actually have experienced going to Starfleet Academy.
It's time you resisted your Starfleet philosophy.
Indeed. I like that there's that little, you kept in that little.
I often like to keep in the beeps, like where I can.
The bleeps, the sweeps, and the creeps?
Right, exactly.
Indeed. Okay, so now.
The bleeps?
Raspberry.
We can keep moving along, and we've gone over the actors. We've gone over whether Dan's got any lists and all that other jazz.
All right. Let's get into the meat.
Get into the meat of this episode. The plot!
Plot!
All right. So we start out in this opening, whatever we call it, where we appear to be on Earth in San Francisco
at
Starfleet headquarters.
There's fucking Boothby.
Which
and
is
all
wild because the Star Trek Voyager takes place in the Delta Quadrant, which is 70,000 years. Light years away, 70,000 light years.
70,000 light years
away from San Francisco.
You make a pretty picture. There was a shot of
you've got a flair for the dramatic. I'll give you that.
Like the bridge and like some kind of building, and that was like from one of the movies.
The Golden Gate.
They just recycled
the Golden Gate Bridge is from San Francisco, the place.
Yes,
that's where.
Yes,
from.
But there was a shot of it. They had. Yes.
Been in movies, but like
from
they originally got it.
They
originally got it because it exists in San Francisco.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, what were you talking about? Which part then? You weren't talking about the bridge?
Jesse,
what were you talking about?
Jesse, do not pre-capitulate.
I know, right?
This form of verbal terrorism.
He's sucking me in. He's going to get me.
Do not comply ahead of time.
So you were talking, okay.
Jesse is correct that there is one brief shot.
There's a brief shot.
That appears to be used from maybe Star Trek 4, I think.
Was it 4?
It feels like Star Trek 4. The film quality is very different. The lenses used.
It was totally different. There were these lights like blinking around. It looked like
a shuttle flying towards the camera in a way you just wouldn't normally see on Voyager.
This is a total tangent, a little side quest.
Oh, excellent. That's great.
But you're talking about different filming. Like, this wasn't a different picture, but the shot was interesting when Chakotay was walking into Quantum Cafe.
Quantum Cafe.
If you
officer's lounge that apparently closes at like 5 p.m.
Right.
What kind of officers are those, man?
So, by the way, this is a nested tangent.
Okay.
Speaking of places,
I know of a couple fans in particular that are going to enjoy this.
Yes.
All right.
Just two.
So Janeway mentions a coffee shop, the Night Owl, and she's like to Boothby, you ever heard of the Night Owl? He's like, no, I haven't. Why did they even bother to bring that up? Has that been referenced before somewhere?
I don't know if it's been referenced before, but actually what she said is, did you recreate the Night Owl?
Well,
and he said no.
That's exactly what I said.
No, you said, have you heard of the Night
Owl? Okay, whatever.
I'm just, again, staving off emails.
It's no one's writing an email about that. Look, the point is...
write all sorts of emails.
Look, like whether, like, you hear the Night Owl, that implies that they would have made the Night Owl, probably. So they're very similarly related.
Okay.
Given the circumstance that these aliens are in some kind of sim universe, that you can say that they one
in this context, Janeway was saying she would like to visit it.
Okay,
but since it doesn't exist, she's not going to work.
The point is, I'm making is why did they even? I don't know why they even brought it up unless Night Owl was referencing something, or if they were just trying to throw some color in there.
I think it's just some color, recognizing that Janeway also went to Starfleet Academy, was in San Francisco, has her own fond memories of the place to help accentuate the fact that. Later in that same conversation where she says, I'm not going to stay and enjoy the simulation. I want to get to the real thing.
Okay.
Right.
For some dramatic flair.
Because they've been out there a while at this point. Yeah. So like, you know, it's tempting.
Where am I?
To get sucked into this whole hollow ship.
It's a nicely written episode. Yeah. It's written by Nick Sagan, who is the son of Carl Sagan.
Keeping in mind, I was on a nested tangent just then.
And we have 45 seconds till the break.
So I'm going to go back up to the original tangent, which was you were talking about different shots. Now, this was the same, looked like the same camera quality or whatever, but when they were following, when Chakotay was entering the Quantum Cafe, the shot, it shows the camera following him from behind.
Yeah, it's a long shot.
Yeah, and they didn't do that kind of shot.
It's a
Get
Shorty style shot.
The point I'm... The point I'm making is that saying is they did that shot and they didn't really do that kind of shot anywhere else in the episode. Yeah. So I thought that it kind of stood out and it was a little awkward almost because it like you'd expect them to do that a couple. I mean, I'm no film buff. I mean, in terms of like, I don't know how to make film, right? Like, I'm not a film guy. Knows all the names of shots.
Why should anybody listen to your opinion?
But my point is like,
you might be able to make.
I'm like, you know, if they're gonna do that shot once, they should do it a bunch more times. It's like, what the fuck do I know? But I'm just saying, it looked a little. It was a cool shot, but it was like kind of jarring in that way.
It did to me seem like it was influenced from the famous Get Shorty opening shot where. John Travolta sort of meandering through things,
I'm sure they've done it before.
Goodfellas. Goodfellas has a famous shot that does that too. Goodfellas shot's more famous.
Yeah. Well, Do you remember that song from the '90s that was all like, "Hey man, nice shot." Remember that?
Yeah,
it was like Filter.
I don't remember. Are you talking about the scene where they were walking through the kitchen in Goodfellas?
It wasn't the best song.
And there's a and then he kissed me.
That's when the movie's all like.
Dan, you're singing that too well. We're gonna get hit with a demonetization.
A demonicization.
All right, we gotta go to break. You know.
But yeah, that's what I meant. The restaurant / club. It's a restaurant. They serve food there. It's whatever.
You said kitchen.
They were going through the kitchen
briefly.
Yes, I know. But they were going through the kitchen.
You're right. That's
the
fair.
Point. Is they started outside. The camera followed them through the kitchen, and I think they call that a one-er. I wouldn't call this Chakotay shot. Would you call the one in Get Shorty a one-er? Because I don't think the Chakotay shot that doesn't qualify.
I think the Chakotay shot.
The shot lasted all but a few seconds.
But a one-er can last 2 seconds. It can last a thousand minutes.
But then the whole point of a one-er.
We got to take a break.
Then everything's a one-er.
We'll continue this on the break. You keep yelling, and we're just gonna. We'll be right back.
Live long and prosper.
All right, we are back.
Let's just say it's good to be back.
Do you have the isolated?
That one?
Yeah, I think so. Is that the one you just played before? All right, play the one from before. No, the previous to that.
Let's just say it's good to be back.
No, I guess
That's different.
But
he's still doing.
Let's just say it's good to be back.
Different. I like the front piece of the one where he says, let's just say it's good to be back.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't pull that out. Sometimes I'll break up a sound into its full version, and then it's like constituent part version sometimes.
Well, I'll say I really liked this opening where we are thrown off that we are on Earth.
Okay. Enjoying the Delta Quadrant?
That's weird. You don't expect to see Earth on when you're
They're
on
in
Voyager.
The Delta Quadrant.
So you know something's up.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what is this? Is this part of a story taking place on Earth? What is this, a flashback? What is this?
It a dream?
And then all of a sudden, boom, who do you see? You see Commander Chakotay
He's looking through his future inoculars.
What does he call it?
Oh, is there a name for it?
Yeah, he said it multiple times. It's called a holo imager.
Oh, a holo imager.
Why would you take a picture with that kind of like frame?
I should have brought my holo imager.
Yeah, rectangle.
And why
hologram?
Cut my head off. She totally cut his head.
She totally cut the head off. Why?
Don't cut off our heads.
Why would you?
That was kind of ominous. Something about that was really ominous.
Don't cut off our heads.
It's
like
an asshole.
It's like I get what he's saying. It's a photo thing, but like it just I don't know. It's like. Why'd they put that in there except to creep me out and make me think some creepy shit?
But she totally cut. She wasn't even fucking listening to what he said. She's cut off his head.
She is an alien. She doesn't know what's up with photographs.
No.
In non-fluidic
space.
She's
one of them 8675309.
I should have brought my holo imager.
I don't understand.
Holograms?
There's a better portmanteau than holo imager. In fact, holo imager is not even a portmanteau, really.
Nah,
it's just.
It's a compound word.
It's just a compound.
Sabotage.
I want squish it together. You know, like a Holliniger.
Holograms.
Holliniger.
Holograms.
Holograms.
Holographerty. I don't know.
Holla at you.
But
O'Flaherty. Hollow Flaherty. It'd be Hal O'Flaherty.
Hallo Flaherty.
How are you doing there?
Hey, you want to go say hi to Hallo Flaherty?
Hallo Flaherty lives up the hill. He's a werewolf.
Yeah.
Sláinte.
I'm not so sure.
Werewolf. No, what were we talking about? You tricked me again with your with
disease.
Your funnies,
humans.
Your little funnies and your funny business. Oh yes. No, I already said my piece about the.
I'll knock you right on your human butt.
The hollow, hollow
bust
imager.
Your ass.
But this was a fun opening. I think.
Yeah.
Really cool, because then you're like, okay, what's going on? Now we're seeing Chakotay. He's taking pictures, which is just weird in Star Trek when people are doing a regular thing like taking pictures.
Yeah, right. I know.
And he's taking pictures of the academy.
And he's taking pictures with what seems to be a very inconvenient looking device compared
Absolutely.
To what we take pictures with.
Imagine what a disappointment that was for Voyager, because the reason they came to that planet is because they detected subspace transmissions that looked like they were from the Federation. Yeah. And they
good
they're
like, call.
They're
yeah.
all like, oh boy, what is this? And they
oh
go
boy.
There and they find out it's some aliens plotting to invade their ship.
Oh, jeepers, it's aliens.
So the first time that these creatures appear is on Scorpion, I believe it's.
I believe it is Scorpion.
Now, it's been a while since I've seen those, so I don't really remember too much about the story
so
leading
like,
up to the 8-4-7-2.
This is like a
guys.
Badass species that can beat the Borg.
Yeah.
Is that the deal? And
they eat
and
up
they,
the Borg.
And they call them by the Borg's designation. That's why it's a number.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. 8-4-7-2.
And I'm just saying, I don't remember the.
Species
it was,
8-4-7-2.
I'm just saying, it was a little confusing to watch at first because I didn't remember any of that stuff. So when they were just like, at one point she was like
species 8-4-7-2.
I was like confused. I was like, is that something new? Is that something we're supposed to? And then later in the episode they kind of talk up, they reference it. And that's how they started get it. That's when they start talking at the end, sort of like to figure their shit out. They reference that. They might have referenced it a little before that. But up until that part, I was just kind of like, they're acting like they know who these are, like, are they just inventing them now? Who are these people? Why do they suddenly, like...
Who are these aliens?
Well, why do they suddenly give a shit about humans? Like, there was an episode, Tattoo, where it was like, okay, this is the second episode of Voyager, where it's like, Earth people, Delta Quadrant aliens being related to Earth somehow, right? It's like, with Tattoo, it was those species that apparently... Mm. Were the reason for creation of they were the origin species for part of human life on Earth, and then
they made stupid native humans smart. The white aliens came and gave tribal knowledge to tribal people.
It was kind of shady.
It was a really fucked up.
We talked about that one.
Yeah, we did.
This one doesn't suffer from that kind of ridiculous framing,
right? So it's
they're just doing simulations.
It's kind of like when the time travel episodes, how they always go back to contemporary times.
Yeah,
it's like this one. They're always linking it back to Earth.
Convenient to film times.
Yes, and this one they're doing the same with those two episodes. It's like, oh, let's relate it to Earth, you know, because we can relate to Earth. It's like, it's all an attempt to get the audience
and
to relate to
what do you
them.
Say when someone arrives on Earth?
Ducha migajo.
No. There's a prompt to play one of your other clever little sound clips. What do we say when a visitor arrives to Earth?
I'm not jokingly.
No. You played it earlier in the episode.
I don't get it. Okay. I don't get it.
You don't get it.
I don't get it.
Wait, ask that question again.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, what's up? What's up? What do you got to say something?
I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up? What's up? Hit me.
What is the correct protocol? What is the decorum required when an unearthly visitor, somebody from out beyond, decides to come to Earth? What does one say to this person?
Welcome to Miami.
Welcome to Earth.
There we go.
I did a little switcheroo to fake you guys out.
Yeah.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Captain.
All right.
Janeway had some good lines in this episode.
Yeah. Janeway had a lot of excellent lines.
She's a star.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. There was a couple lines in particular where it just sounded so Janeway when she said it.
Right.
So I guess.
That's so Janeway. This is a new feature we will offer only on episodes in which we're discussing Voyager.
Really?
Or episodes where Voyager comes up naturally. That's so Janeway. This is a
risk I'm willing to take.
this is a Dan segment. All right. I like that one. That's a risk.
It's a risk
I'm willing to take.
That's so Janeway.
Totally.
That's so Janeway.
Is this so Janeway?
The weapons array now.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's pretty Janeway.
Unequivocal.
What about this?
We should prepare for the worst.
It's kind of Janeway.
It's kind of Janeway.
It's
also just sort of common sense.
Yeah.
In the good sense of the word, not the bad sense.
Well, you're in fucking
sense.
Space already.
More.
more.
Enjoying the Delta Quadrant?
Yeah, what did that mean? She was like, tell me more information? Yeah. Is that what she was trying to say?
Like more weapons. It was more weapons.
This is pretty Janeway.
Enjoying the Delta Quadrant?
I played that earlier.
I like that one.
Welcome aboard.
Quadrant.
Welcome aboard. I'm less impressed
with
the Delta Quadrant business. I dig that.
How about this? Is this so Janeway?
We're on our way.
That's just human beings.
Starfleet.
It's a regular old conversation.
For all we know, there's been an imposter on board.
That's pretty Janeway.
Yes.
Fairly Janeway.
Just her delivery, especially near the end. At the
on
end.
Board.
At the very end.
For all we know, there's been an imposter on board.
On board. There's coffee in that imposter.
We sound like the Lollipop Clan, or what are they called?
The Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild.
You sure it wasn't Clan?
No, we're not the Lollipop Clan.
There's no clan.
The Lollipop Clan is a different and less tasteful group.
Let's not talk about those.
It scares the hell out of me.
It's a little bit.
All right. Any other Janeway business? That's so Janeway's?
This is good.
Well, of those sound clips you had, which one do you think is the most Janeway?
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know. Why don't you play through them all super quickly?
Oh, my God. Okay.
Play them all at once.
I'll play them.
It's a risk I'm willing to take. We're on our way. For all we know, there's been an imposter on board. Enjoying the Delta Quadrant? We should prepare for the worst. Red alert. All hands to battle stations. Weapons array now. Welcome aboard. Yes, come in. We're on our way.
It's one of the first ones.
Yeah, I think it's either.
It's a risk I'm willing to take.
I like that. For me, it's that one.
Or it could be.
For all we know, there's been an imposter on board.
Those, I think, are my top two.
I think it's a risk I'm willing to take.
I'm going to play them both back to back one more time.
It's a risk I'm willing to take. For all we know, there's been an imposter on board.
Yeah.
I like the it's a risk I'm willing to take because in the context, it's almost like the joke where she's willing to risk somebody else's health. In this case, like 7 of 9. She's like, fucking slurp those nanites out your body if necessary.
She was bloodthirsty for those nanites.
Yeah,
There was some unusually aggressive Star Trek stuff. Like, yeah. I know that they were sketched out by this alien race, species, like taking over their bodies, but they straight up captured one of them and like grilled them. Like, I guess you got to do what you got to do. And it's really shady they were doing that, but it seemed like really aggressive because they hadn't yet done anything aggressive to Voyager. Now, I'm assuming somehow they knew that they had warp. Do they have like a warp capability scanner that they just go up to planets and scan them and are able to figure out if they're warp capable or not? So they have to worry about the prime directive.
There's
so,
energy signature.
Yeah. So first of all, Dan, yes.
Yeah, they have a place.
I'm not a big fan of these hand gestures you're making. The way Dan is indicating,
he's wanting us.
A warp capable
like planet.
He's whipping Jesse.
Whipping
his.
So they have the warp capable planet button. So they point at the planet and they press the button and it tells you if it's warp capable
or not. That's precisely how
it's
implemented.
And that's all it does, and it says yes or no.
Yes.
Prime directive.
It's implemented in precisely the fashion that you've described.
With a big digital display that says yes. Or no, it's like an arrow and it's like a spectrum. There's left on the left spectrum is no and the right spectrum is yes. And since it's not really a spectrum-y question, it only ever points one way or the other. But then
like a compass.
Or maybe there's a setting that you could say how close to warp capable they are, and then it could be like a spectrum. I don't know what I'm really talking about at this point. But we were talking about
Dude, you so crazy.
We were talking about like how they knew that these people weren't warp capable.
Wait, what are you talking about?
They must have known that they were warp capable.
Yeah, I don't know why you're bringing up the question of warp capable.
Because they're interfering with this planet.
They're not interfering with any
planet. Yeah, they fucking captured a motherfucker off the planet. You don't do that.
He's not. First of all, it's not a planet. It's a space station.
But they have already. They've already encountered them.
Space station.
I get what you're saying now, Dan. I get what you're saying. They've come across a space station. They've found people who look like humans, but clearly they're not. So they're like,
they just go in and capture them. They never do that. They never just go and capture people.
Okay, a couple points. Point number one, I think it's well observed. I didn't catch that. I think probably implicitly, I don't worry about it because since they're looking like humans,
they captured them because
like clearly something's up because they're it's not just that they look like humans, they've replicated Starfleet command. I think the first the prime directive goes out the window.
It's obvious.
When you
That's
come
not
across
really
a simulation of Starfleet command. That's point number one. Point number two, as you noted, Janeway was weirdly aggressive, and then
very rapidly was super diplomatic. And I think this episode, as well structured and I think overall well written as it is an example in Voyager where frequently they would change the characterization of the characters to suit whatever plot they were trying to do at mm-hmm, the time. Mm-hmm. And Janeway, I think, suffered from that a lot, where Janeway would veer back and forth and, from like crazy, violent, vengeful to and, super peaceful, almost to the point of and, folly.
And usually they do that, they do it per episode, like one episode that character will be one way and another, they'll at least separate them by episode, but this happened in the same episode.
Episode. And it, look, it's the story they want to tell. The characterization consistency of Janeway and other characters suffers as a result, but it does give them some flexibility to tell whatever story they're trying to tell given the constraints of the plot they've set up for themselves.
Yeah.
I looked up non-fluidic space, and the first thing I get is from Memory Alpha, and then the AI overview says the AI overview is often wrong about these descriptors.
Often wrong, soon.
But this
he's
is just the Google AI.
He's
so
often wrong.
So
it's
I get
not
this,
that he went off and
he's
wrong.
Off and wrong.
Yeah, I used to think it was he's off and wrong.
Right,
but he's often wrong. Yeah. Which is an insult to a scientist. If you're a scientist, that's
out
the
to
joke.
Lunch.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a TNG thing. Mm-hmm. Brothers, it's early. No, don't worry about it.
So I did a Google search. So this is according to Gemini, I guess, instead of ChatGPT. It says,
Gemini.
So you're talking about non-fluidic space. It specifically says, in Star Trek Voyager, non-fluidic space refers to the unconventional, highly complex, and potentially dangerous environment that the Voyager crew encounters when they enter the undulant space or the fluidic
undulant.
Space. Non-fluidic space doesn't even have a science-y meaning. It's just kind of like something they made up.
Yeah, that's
they don't
fantasy.
Really do they describe what it is?
It's just some magic magic hole.
According to Memory Alpha, fluidic space was an extra dimensional realm filled with a form of organic fluid and containing no stars or other celestial bodies.
Hell no.
Its sole indigenous life forms were species 8472. Objects moving through fluidic space generated pressure waves detectable by species 8472. So yeah, like that's interesting. You hear them say, oh, it's non-fluidic space. And that's how they even define it when Chakotay goes,
species 8472. Origin, fluidic space.
They just like fluidic space rather, not right. non-fluidic or whatever. No, humans are non-fluidic. They are fluidic. Okay, right.
I think,
but
that,
yeah, it's just like...
Is
it's
that
just,
what it is? I'm honestly keep getting confused by that.
Well, Chakotay says...
Species 8472. Origin, fluidic space.
That's right. Yes, they are fluidic.
They're always... They're the ones
we're
that,
non-fluidic space because...
They refer to it as non-fluidic space.
Because one time, at one point, Archer goes...
Non-fluidic space has its charms.
Yeah, I bet
corny.
It does.
Salinated oxygen molecules,
know, right?
Stimulating the epidermal neural receptors.
So the deal with
receptors. There was some sex talk in this episode.
Yeah. And we'll get to that in a second. But the deal with this whole species 8472.
309.
I enjoy a lot of the episodes with them. Scorpion's cool and all.
Scorpion wins.
The problem is that with this particular species, it was a classic example. And Voyager, by the way, had a few examples of this where they're like, similar to the Ferengi on TNG, where the writers are trying to come up with a new alien species and they want to have a new wicked enemy. The fucking Kazon didn't work out because they were stupid. Just like they were even worse than the Ferengi, because at least the Ferengi you were able to rescue later on and turn into a charming and interesting group of people.
Targ manure.
Kazon were largely a failure. So that didn't work out. And then you have species 8472.
You got a bunch of Delta Quadrant gross face species.
The gimmick
species 8472.
The gimmick with them was, oh, they're scary because the Borg are scared of them. Mm. And that's a cool idea.
Totally.
And
don't touch
and
me.
Scorpion is effective. As I recall, there's like this scene where it's like all these Borg cubes running and everyone's like, it's like when those classic things like, wait, if you see the sharks going in the other direction, what the
right.
fuck is going on?
Bad scene.
So that's a cool concept in principle.
Don't try to rattle my cage.
But I don't know. I got a little bored of all the Borg and this, that, and the other thing. It got all complicated.
Oh, and Scorpion, you mean?
Yeah. The latter half of Voyager. It's all, there's plenty of good stuff in there. Just, it wasn't quite my cup of tea. I'm frankly more into the Hirogen. I thought the Hirogen, which we most recently discussed a few weeks back when we talked about the Killing Game. The Hirogen, that was an interesting species. They had an interesting culture, that whole hunting culture. And the interactions were more like old school Star Trek to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, bit of a tangent, but just talking about that origin.
They were
of the
comparing
species.
Them to the Soviets.
with the fake villages, the fake American towns, to help practice.
So the 8472, that was also during the era of special effects that were kind of terrible and awesome at the same time.
Some of them are pretty good in this episode, except for the actual aliens.
Except for the actual aliens, because it looks so ridiculous. It reminded me of, what was the episode where she kicked that dude off the thing and he fell and he like turned into something else? Was that Enterprise? Was that Herogen? Was that the Herogen?
Oh yeah, no, the Killing Game.
Game. That was the Killing Game.
At the end of the Killing Game, she kicks
same
a
episode.
Nazi.
That's funny.
She kicks a Nazi off the fucking
right. And it changes.
He just turns
changed,
into like a mesh.
Yeah, it changed. Well, changed
digital mesh.
It changed angles and like the special effect was supposed to watch this dude fall to his death, but like they didn't like color it in properly, so he was all silver.
Yeah, they didn't
and the digital effects
the
were terrible.
Effect.
It was so terrible. And this kind of reminded me of that. It was maybe a little better, but it was like it didn't flow. It didn't blend with the background at all.
Nah.
And then there was one part, I guess it was like they were like red, but then it like dies and turned gray and green. It was weird.
Yeah.
And then like there was a scene where the doctor was like talking about okay, this is it. Okay. So there's they have the 8472 corpse, and the doctor says, initiate a bioscan, full spectrum. Don't worry, it's an autonomic reflex, because the alien all starts moving around. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, don't worry about it.
He's like, I'm kind of worried about that.
Yeah, yeah. And then Seven's like, something's wrong. Nanoprobe should have taken effect. So she's worried, and he's like, not worried about this reflex. And he's like, And then she's like, what is it? He's like, the creature's nucleotides are still intact.
Sorry.
Cleo's nucleo and Leo's.
Clearly, this is not the part of the exchange that you think is important.
No. I'm sort of like.
You're indicating that by mumbling.
Yeah, I probably should have prepared this one. Well, you can't prepare. I don't prepare. That's what we're doing. We're talking out of the moment. It just so happens that
we're talking out of the moment.
I'm trying
phrase.
To talk out of the moment while reading a script, and it's
in
not
the
working.
Moment.
Okay.
Talking out
you're
of
right.
The moment.
You're. I'm trying to go. I'm trying. What I'm trying to do is go da da da, and then skip to the important parts.
Yeah.
But I'm not succeeding at the da 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 part.
I think you're forgetting you're on a podcast, and you think you're just
yada yada.
You're just like reading a Reddit article.
Okay, here's what happened. The alien. They get the alien. It twitches. The doctor's like, don't worry, it's moving, but it's a reflex. And then he was like, the nucleotides are still intact. You were right, Seven. Mm. So first of all, like, I don't know what nucleotides still intact is supposed to mean. I guess it implies that he's still alive or something. Because I didn't catch
he's not
the part.
Alive, but
part. Right.
The
but
cells haven't, you know, rotted and totally shut down, I guess.
Right, and so
I don't know. It was
but,
just sort
but
of
yeah,
like,
no,
whatever.
It wasn't clear what that how
there's still like
was,
nerve.
Was, it didn't. It wasn't clear what that
activity.
Meant. It wasn't clear what that meant for the Doctor and Seven. It's like, are they in imminent danger or what? I don't know.
It was unnecessary
then,
extra dialogue.
Right, and then what happens after? That's when it turned from its reddish clay red color to gray with moldy green. Mm-hmm. And then the Doctor's like, oh, no worries, it's okay. So I guess that means it died. Like, what was the whole point of that exchange there? I don't really understand what they were trying to accomplish other than an excuse to show the alien or something. But like, what happened was he's like, don't worry, it's a reflex. He's like, oh, you might be right, we should worry. And then it dies. And it's like, oh, don't worry. And that was the whole scene. And I feel like there must have been something I missed.
No, but I don't think it missed anything. I think it's just that the goal
missed.
Was to prove that the nanites still worked on the thing, and they overcomplicated it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't need to mention all this stuff about like, don't worry, there's still enough electrical activity in the cells to allow this test to happen. Just do the fucking test. This is not a real test. Mm. The audience will accept that the test works on
right.
the corpse.
Yeah.
Because it's a corpse. You didn't like reanimate it or anything. You didn't like do some
it's a corpse.
None of this was necessary.
It's a corpse. I'll be damned if it's a corpse.
It's one of my minor quibbles with this episode, along with the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, the Quantum Cafe seems to close at around 5,
right.
just shortly after 5 o'clock for some reason. That doesn't really make
That's
sense.
That's weak.
And they're
dude.
All about like...
5 o'clock.
Because I'm right, right? Didn't she say, meet me at, what'd she say, 1700? That's 5 o'clock,
That's
5 right?
O'clock,
so she's like, meet me here at 1700. I don't know, maybe she was hanging out there a long time and he showed up late, but that didn't seem to be the case. She didn't seem to be all like pissed off at him for being late or whatever. Maybe he was a little late. He might have said, I forget exactly. But right, I don't know. Regardless, it was closing too early. Some things like that just didn't make sense.
1900 hours is what they said.
1900 hours. So 1900, 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still too early, right?
That's too early for me.
For an officer's club.
Even for the military, like shit goes.
Yeah, I know.
Night.
Meeting someone at 1900 hours, maybe they're trying to keep it professional. But there was all the sex talk.
The Quantum Cafe looked... It wasn't as nice as the 602.
You're kidding.
What was
you
it?
Were
the,
naked?
Is it the 602 Club in Enterprise where Archer's hanging out in San Francisco, where all the officers, that tiny little bar?
had a little, like, when you get off duty, you're supposed to,
yeah, that's right.
To, like,
when they got in the, didn't they get in a fight there? That's where he fought the dude.
When you get off duty, you're supposed to, like just get drunk. So, like, they're going to come back around and, like, try to get you to do some more stuff. And you're like, no, I'm, so you can say, like, no, I'm just too drunk.
What, at the officer's lounge?
Like, I'm too drunk to do anything. Yeah. I can't do it because I'm too drunk.
Well, I'm a little too drunk.
Well, somebody told me that we all know.
Well, speaking of what we were just talking about, which was
I really don't recall.
It was the club, Quantum Cafe, and he invited her over, and it was 7 p.m. And I suggested maybe it was to keep it professional. But here's the conversation. And when I was referencing sex talk earlier, here in the conversation, I believe it was during this meeting, Chakotay goes, he was telling a story. He was like, "Turns out the transporter malfunctioned. My uniform ended up in the pattern buffer." And she's like, "You're kidding.
You're kidding. You were naked."
And that's like, ooh. And he goes, "Not entirely. I had my comm badge." And then she goes, "I hope it was well placed."
I hope it was well placed.
That's like sex talk, you know? That's sex talk. They're talking like sexy.
Pretty much.
And then later, when they're in the room, she's like, "Can I get you something to drink?" He's like, "Water's fine." And she's like, "I'm beginning to think you're a teetotaler." He's like, "I like to stay in control." And she's like, "Oh, is that yellow alert, huh?" And he's like,
"Yellow
something
alert.
Something like that." Yeah. That's like coy talk. That's coy sex talk.
Koi pond talk?
I mean, there's no direct sex in the talk, but it's like, "Yeah, I like to be in control." She's like, "Yeah, you like to be in control. Always on the ready, huh?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm on the ready. I'm ready right now." You know, that's what he's saying. And when they made out, he seemed super weirded out by it at first, but then he embraced it. Wouldn't you like to be able to turn into an alien and then have sex with someone else that also turned into that same alien? And you can take off your clothes and be naked and have alien sex? Like, yeah.
Yes, of course.
And neither of you are that alien. It's like, but like that, maybe that person could be an alien, but you and that person could turn, like, you're a human. They're alien A, but both you and alien A turn into, morph into.
Are you alien B and they're alien A?
No. If you let me finish, this will all make sense. See, that's why you don't question someone before they're done.
I always love the part of the podcast where Dan explains his sexual fantasies to us.
So it's human and alien A, and both the human and alien A are like, "Let's morph into alien B." See, if you wait for me to say that.
Right, you're talking about alien C now?
B, I said B.
No, you said just C. Didn't you just say C?
Oh, I said B. You're just giving me shit now. The human...
It's a pun.
What's the pun?
The C, because you said C as in being able to see with your eyes. Okay. I said alien C.
Oh, I got it. Okay, I messed up. You're making a joke.
It's a bit of a vaudeville.
So if you're a human and then there's alien A and you both decide to morph into alien B and then have sex with each other, would you rather do that or would you rather morph into another human morph into an alien B? Would you rather morph into an alien with another human or would you rather morph into an alien with another alien of a different species?
All right, I got a little
confused. I don't
know
if I can answer that question.
Yeah, we might have to get back to you about that next week.
You really
Let's
not,
get back to
are you guys like, you can't understand what I'm saying? Would you rather have
I
sex?
I think I understand what
would
you're
you,
saying,
would
but
you like
I'm
to
just
have,
not equipped to
Would you like it. To have sex with another human if both of you turned into an alien? So you're both an alien
Wait,
form.
Wait, is it an alien
There's
as,
no, Don't
as
pull
a,
that we like information what, bullshit.
Is it
don't
an
pull
alien
that bullshit. There's no more
human,
information you need.
Or is it a human as an alien?
I want to know what kind of alien it is to know if I can perceive that I would enjoy the sexual encounter.
Oh God, this is so missing the point of the question.
There's animals where the whole sexual encounter, like you break the penis off. And
I don't know.
I don't want to. Is my penis going to get broken?
Jesus
off?
Christ!
Is there teeth involved?
I think that's a valid question.
Okay, yeah, Patrick, your penis is going to get broken. You want sex where your penis is getting
Are
broken? You know I'm not asking that.
To somebody,
you know.
I don't know. You could be trying to trick
no,
us.
No, I'm not trying to trick you. I'm just asking on hypothetical, and you're turning into. Well, is it going to make my head catch on fire? It's like, no, of course not. Like, no.
I'm
take what in the spirit of the question and
I don't
oh my
know
god you're so hopeless.
Look, you're declaring the spirit of the question. I'm just, if you're gonna ask me, I don't know. Isn't there like some starfish that like punches a hole in somebody's
god,
fucking head?
That's exactly what I was just saying. It's like, would you like to have sex with someone if it meant there's a big hole punched through your face? That's not what I'm asking. You look to what it is I'm asking, and I'm asking something very specific. Just pretend whatever, but like, right. What about you, Jesse? What about you? Would you like to have sex with another human if both of you morphed into an alien, so you were in alien form?
It depends on the alien.
Oh, God. You guys suck. So you say you don't team up on me. You're doing
Vulcans?
It right now.
We're not teaming
doing
up on you.
Vulcan?
You're doing it right now. It's not. Well, no.
Doing it.
Okay, species 8472, okay? They answered your question. No. Now Patrick's going to be like, well, what if they have sex by kicking each other in the kneecaps over and over again?
We're going to go on break, and we'll figure this out. And when we come back, we'll tell you the answer, all right? We'll be right back.
Take us out of orbit.
And we're back.
Enjoying the Delta Quadrant?
Indeed I am, Dan.
You know, we could keep this paranoid debate going all day.
We could indeed, and we want to conclude the previous the debate we were having prior to the break.
I mean, we don't actually have to finish this. But
no, I felt that you would become very upset if we didn't conclude this on the air, as it were. Ooh. So
you're not a Romulan double agent, are you, son?
Sorry, I didn't mean to put
in the spirit, in the spirit that Dan and I discussed this over the break at length.
Yep.
It's actually the next day. And we come back to finish the recording.
It was too difficult. I was too traumatized.
Had to sleep on it. Had to snuggle on it. In the spirit that Dan intended, which is a presumption, which he concedes a presumption may not be true in the animal kingdom and in real animal life.
Oh, this human is full of words.
But in the spirit of the question, it included the presumption that whatever alien you turned into, the sex would be a fun experience.
Feel that?
I was just asking if you'd want to do that.
And yes, in that context of having a fun, sexy time,
I didn't say
a weird alien body.
Okay, fun for what? I mean, I'm saying, would you find it fun?
I would find it fun on the assumption. I thought we went over this.
That it wasn't like choking you out and then like punching you in the nose.
Exactly. Presuming
and then like biting you on the back and like ripping the flesh off
your
face.
Presuming their culture and their physiology does not require ripping off of penis, death, strangulation, puncturing of holes into abdominal cavities.
Like that.
On either part. I don't want to be puncturing a penis hole into somebody's body cavity. I don't want to be on either
flesh.
End of that, right?
Yeah.
Nothing against it. If that is
feisty little fellows,
what people are into, that's fine. That
so
I'm not interested in. But on the assumption that that particular alien copulation tradition or method is intended to be pleasurable, maybe not. Maybe not in every case. Just like, you know, could be a bad date. Could be a fumbling first timer. I don't know. But in principle, if it's intended to be pleasurable, I'm going to go for it in whatever alien body. Could be 8472, could be Vulcans, could be Klingons, could be Ferengi, could be Bolians.
Keep talking, son.
Bolians.
Andorians, Tellarites, Kazon, whatever Neelix was, the Talaxians.
No.
Holograms. I'd love to become a hologram.
Holograms?
And do like crazy hologram fornication.
I should have brought my holo imager.
Indeed, you should have.
Okay, Jesse, what about you?
What?
If you don't remember, then just forget it.
Okay.
Do you not remember the initial question? No. What do you think he was been talking about for the past 5 minutes? What do you think Patrick's been saying for the past 5 minutes? Were you just like, not you're just like, whatever?
Oh, man.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just curious. I'm really not, Jesse. I'm really not trying to put you on the spot or anything. I
don't know.
I'm just curious what you thought Patrick.
We were just grooving.
That was a silly
episode. Yeah, but like, he was grooving on answering a question that I had. The question being, would you have sex with another person?
Oh, my goodness. Are we still on this spot?
Yeah, what'd you think we were talking about?
I'm grooving on how silly this episode is.
Okay.
This is an off-the-rails episode.
But then this goes to my other question is, would you rather do it with another human that's turned into an alien like you did, or would you rather do it with a different alien that's also turned into that alien that you are?
Are you saying
you what?
I'm agnostic.
Do I have alien preferences?
That's not what he's saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
But you know what? That might be a topic for a future show.
Yeah.
All right, but we got to get back.
I could use an isomorphic injection.
Back to this show.
If you need one.
We talked a little bit about the sexy time stuff.
Sexy time. Don't say sexy time.
No, well, didn't you say sexy time?
I never said sexy time.
Somebody never.
Said sexy I never,
never.
Said that. That's what George O said in the movie.
In Section 31?
Yeah, no. She said something about sexy time.
Well, the thing is, in this episode, we've got Chakotay. Hanging out with, making out with this Archer character,
wow.
Valerie Archer, who is an alien.
And I guess you guys are all eternal nemesis, sex evil tension and stuff.
That's not the line, but apparently I don't have the other one.
The thing about this is that they have zero chemistry. There is zero chemistry between
Chakotay and
Valerie Archer, or really Robert Beltran and Kate Vernon.
Chakotay and anybody.
I think Kate Vernon's doing a very good job here. It's just very awkward between them. Now, here's the thing, though. I don't know if that awkwardness kind of works, because Chakotay is a little put off by the fact that he knows now at this stage that it's species 8472. And that's kind of creepy and weird, and they're maybe trying to destroy Earth. So you could argue that the awkwardness...
Welcome to Earth!
That the awkwardness makes sense. On the other hand, it kind of doesn't feel like that, especially when he kisses her.
Yeah, at first he's like, his face, he's like turning his head. He's like pursing his lips up, like, or closing. It's like someone's trying to feed him food, and he's like, no, I don't want it. I don't want it.
Well, you know, Chakotay's been in the Delta Quadrant for a while. Like, when was the last time he...
Well, probably him and Janeway, like when they went to that, when they were on that planet, when him and Jane, what episode was that where Janeway and Chakotay end up on that planet?
I think that's after this one.
What?
This is season 5, episode 4.
Did Janeway and Chakotay land on planet, had sex, live together?
Google Gemini says.
Resolutions?
I don't know.
No. But that's still like one event. So like, it, you know, it's still like.
I think it was after this too.
Wait, no. So I think it says Wikipedia says Resolutions is a 40. But set in the late 24th century, this series follows a crew of Star. Okay,
that's a show. Okay.
Captain Janeway and
There's not many people on
here.
That
I'm skipping right to the good stuff.
I love the part of the podcast where Dan reads a Wikipedia entry about a different episode of Star Trek Voyager.
This episode,
in order to approve a point that nobody remembers.
This episode, that's not my fault, your memory's all shot to fuck. Nah. This episode sees Janeway and Chakotay engage in a romantic relationship while living alone together on a planet. The characters had flirted together before, but the relationship between them was never explored was never explored. Just let me finish the quote. I'm almost done with the quote.
Okay.
That's all. Sorry, I didn't mean...
I just want to know the episode, because that's
I know, but I'm not done with the quote yet, okay?
All right. This better be great.
The character... No, I just had a few words left. It'd just all be right. Nice to finish what I'm saying without being cut off short.
Okay.
The characters had flirted together before, but the relationship between them was never explored beyond this episode. Okay, so... And that is episode... That's 225. So it's season 2, so it's before this.
Season 2, episode 25.
And this was season...
Yeah, there's a lot earlier. Well, this is season 5, episode 4.
So they've already... I don't remember why we were talking about this.
Because of sexy times? Because
you crazy bitch.
Yeah, I don't
remember why I brought that up, but there was a reason, because we were talking about him and her having sex and then Chakotay. Oh, yeah, because Jesse was like, Chakotay, the reason Chakotay was weirded out by that kiss from Archer is because he's used to, like, he's been in the Delta Quadrant and hasn't gotten any sex.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that he did from Janeway. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Wow, he almost.
You know, we could keep this paranoid debate going all day.
He almost. Well, I don't know. This part of the episode is the weird part to me. Is this whole him dating her or trying to date her?
Yeah.
And then they've shot it very weirdly, where we see her changing. We see her shadow boobs. It's like, oh, here's the shadow.
That's what inspired me to ask the question about changing into an alien and having sex with another alien. Imagine like getting naked as an alien, being like, ooh, these are my sex parts.
Okay, I gotcha. But then you see Valerie Archer sitting back there, and then she takes her Ozempic pen, which is hilarious. The chemistry, though, I know I harped on it already, but that weirded me out a little bit.
She was all like, she was disappointed that she didn't get to have human sex with him. And then she was like, think of it as part of our training. I want to be part of a military mission where sex is all part of the training. Right. It's like,
and you hang out in like a holodeck all day.
And I'm like, I'm on a secret mission, and my secret mission is to like train sex with aliens. It's like, I'm doing this for the Starfleet, man.
I get fucked.
I'm fucking an alien. I'm like, I'm a Starfleet hero. I'm a hero of Starfleet. Everyone loves me.
Star, baby.
That was a little crass, what I just said. I'm sorry. That was a bit crass.
You mean where you waved your fist in the air and said, I'm fucking an alien. I'm fucking an alien. I'm a hero. I'm a hero.
Feel that?
I'm a hero.
Oh.
Mr. Hand. Targ manure, indeed.
The galaxy is safe for humans.
Targ manure, every word of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, yes, before we get too far down the line, because the episode of this podcast episode is rapidly nearing its conclusion.
Oh.
We don't want to be remiss in the promised lists.
Remiss of the lists.
Duties and whatnots.
Okay, well,
give us that list of seven boring ass things.
Yeah, there were two of them that I marked.
The seven banal things.
Yeah, I would say
that you were compelled to write down.
I know, but and I not did not, I wasn't necessarily
not merely compelled to write down, but to then convey to us.
Well, I was just about to say that, like, I was reconsidering actually conveying it because I looked at the list. I was like, But now it's a thing, so we have to do it. Yes. And I would, because there's two things that I marked as interesting. I would say let's play a game to figure out which two things I marked as interesting. Oh. But there's like seven things, and it would require me to have to keep saying them over and over, and that would take up like the rest of the episode.
Could right? happen. So,
all right.
But if you can think of one along the way that you, one of the two, two of them I marked as interesting.
Okay.
Or worth list worthy. Okay. So starting at the seven things in Voyager.
I love nothing more than a list and a list of seven items in which two of them are list worthy.
Interesting.
And we all but two.
And we don't know which two, but we're gonna find
which
out.
Two?
Okay, Dan.
We'll be fine.
All right.
Number one. A Klingon martini is made of vermouth, gin, and a dash of blood wine.
I know that was lame.
I don't know what. I've never had blood wine. I don't know what it tastes like, but it sounds gross. And yes, Jesse, it does sound like a bit lame. But martinis are
lazy.
But martinis are minimalistic. But still, yeah, it's still kind of like, yeah, just put some blood wine in
right,
it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not that into martinis.
And
it's like,
it's fine. I'll have a martini.
It was like olive juice.
It seems like the type of thing that would offend a Klingon, right? Like to take their blood wine and mix
probably
it with some other shit.
I would,
you know,
imagine.
I don't know. Maybe they don't give a shit.
Neither of you guys like martinis?
They're not at the top of my list.
I'm not into it.
Yeah. No. So if somebody hands me one.
I really can't stand gin.
Gin is a wild fucking animal.
I was in a gin for a brief time. I was into gin and tonics.
I've been able to, in the past, I've been able
to. If you go to like Britain and like.
Yeah, they got a lot of gin.
There's like gin that tastes nice.
Yeah, it tastes
well. Well, they have like Boodles and all those beef eaters and those.
Boodles.
I think those are British, aren't they?
Beef eaters is definitely British. Yeah.
But
Sapphire.
I've had gin and tonics and enjoyed them before. Yeah. But I still, like, something about, like, gin, the tonic knocks out the flavor of gin, but it still tastes, I don't know, something about that gin berry, that juniper berry flavors.
Yeah, yeah,
tastes like, it's like you're just, like, piney or something in this weird way.
So I think tonight I don't know if it's all been on the air, but we've talked about gin, we've talked about martinis, which aren't always, you know, vodka martinis are there, too. And we've talked about, I think, margaritas. I don't know if we, again, that might have been on the break or something, but Jesse and I were talking about how we don't like margaritas.
And?
Maybe we should talk about what we do like. Brown liquors.
I like whiskey.
I like pina coladas. I like a hurricane. I like tropical
hurricane's
drinks.
Nice.
A lot of tropical drinks. I'm not that into margaritas.
Mai Tai.
A Mai Tai.
Nice.
I like Mai Tai. Nice. Ooh, Mai Tai.
Wow. You know what? You should go to Hawaii.
Hawaii?
Hawaiian burger joint.
Big Kahuna Burger.
Big Kahuna Burger.
Mai Tais is nice in Hawaii.
All right. Okay.
So that was number one.
That was number one of the list. Oh, good. This is going great. Okay.
Don't get sassy with me, young lady.
All right.
Number two, species 8472 are able to recreate San Francisco using a combination of holographic projection.
Holograms?
And particle synthesis.
Yeah.
Holograms.
Is there a theme to this list?
They will try to destroy Earth.
Wait, is this just
the last 8472 I met tried to dissolve me from the inside out.
I thought I had a quote with him saying a holographic projection, but I guess I didn't. Sorry,
okay.
Guys.
Let's try again.
All right. So let's continue with this increasingly disconnected list of concepts.
Oh, here it is.
I believe they used a combination of holographic projection and particle synthesis.
That's what 8472 used to create San Francisco. Number three, microcellular scans are what allowed the doctor to tell the difference between gentry and real humans. Mm-hmm. Number three. Number four, sorry, let me try that again.
All right.
Okay, let's, we got a comment on this.
Flip it and reverse it.
Nanoprobe warheads! Exclamation point. Later, Harry offers Chakotay a Type 1 phaser modified to fire Borg nanoprobes.
Harrogate.
So they had Borg nanoprobes. Their phaser could fire not photons and packets of light or whatever, but it also now it fired nanoprobes. Are they like little ballistic things that fly through the air, or are they like, or is it like a germ shooter? Like, what does that mean to be able to take a phaser and shoot nanoprobes?
That's a good question.
And they had a nano,
yeah,
you know,
seemed like it was more like a germ shooter.
Yeah, it's, it kind of seems like
it's more like biological,
kind of seems like that. So yeah. they were armed to the teeth with nanoprobe guns and nanoprobe warhead things. Okay, mm-hmm. Number five, Harry enhanced his tricorder with a shit, fucking Windows. Sorry, it went to a screensaver. I have a screensaver. I'm one of the few people left, I think, that uses screensaver.
I have a screensaver.
Oh, you do? Because Windows always defaults it to off, and I always put it on.
My screensaver has the swirling 3D letters, and they say pee-pee-poo-poo.
Oh, cool. I should put some ones on.
I have two monitors, and so I like when it sort of like bounces between the two monitors.
Yeah. I can tell you what my screensaver is, if you have a second.
Does it say like...
say a lot?
Wee, wee, woo, woo.
No, it's. I should do the words one. Right now, I have it set on ribbons.
Ribbons.
All right. Ribbons.
Before
good.
I had it
Who
on...
Who doesn't want to wear the ribbon?
Before I had it on Mystify. Remember Mystify? That's from like Windows 3.1 days.
Can I ask, why did you have to like look that up when you just saw it?
Well, I just didn't remember what it was called. Oh, you're talking about the name of my screensaver? Yeah, I didn't remember what it was called. It's interesting question.
You know, if you took a guess just by describing it, good chance you would have gotten it.
Yeah, ribbons. Yeah, because they kind of look like ribbons.
They kind of look like ribbons.
So, okay, so...
what was that, number three?
No, okay, number five.
Oh, Harry... that was number four.
No, we're on number five.
Well, now we're on number five. No, that's the previous one was number five. Number four. Just clarifying the list. That's okay. Don't worry, Dan. Keep
Don't
going.
Don't try to rattle my cage.
Jesse's bored. He's making his
yeah.
Little,
I know.
His
he's,
mouth noise.
No,
yeah,
I'm digging.
That's
it.
What stopped me a minute ago when saying one, because he made that squeak noise. He made that boop noise. No, not that one. The one where you squeak through. You go. Yeah, that one. You like that. Okay, so I'm going back, repeating number five. I'm repeating number five.
Okay.
Because the screensaver came on. Harry enhanced his tricorder with a transoptic data link. Help to access systems.
All right, good that you repeated that. I didn't remember hearing it in the first place.
Are you fucking with me?
No. I'm saying I don't remember hearing it either the screensaver interrupted you or you never said it and then the screensaver came on and you thought you said it.
I thought
but
you were...
regardless, it was important for you to reiterate it because otherwise we would not have heard that one.
I thought you were sassing me.
Not sassing you.
I thought you were making fun of me. Really, like, I'm glad you repeated
I'm
that
not
one, Dan. Sorry.
No, I'm thanking you for making sure that we got to hear that. I admittedly currently do not remember what you just said. It was Harry did something.
Oh my gosh.
But
where is your brain wander around a lot or something when things are going on
tonight?
I think so.
Yes. Tonight is, I mean, I think all of us are in a bit of a thing tonight.
I think I remember stuff that people say though.
I'm having problems.
It's okay.
All right. So
number
that was
six.
Number five. All right, now we're number six of seven, two of which are list worthy.
This one is actually a subject in and of itself. What the fuck kind of gross insanity goes on during Pon Far Night at the Vulcan nightclub?
I know. What was that,
yes.
Dude?
Why do Vulcans have nightclubs?
Yes. Pon Far Night.
It was totally like a construct, like nightclub. Like,
it was so weird.
It was like, it's Pon Far Night. It's like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
are there
any Vulcans even there?
All I can think of is a bunch of naked Vulcans like fighting and like some of them are fighting and the others are having sex and everything gets crazy.
I think it was just a bunch of humans like pretending to be Vulcans.
Do you think
it's a dress-up party? You don't think Vulcans actually have a Pon Far Night where
I
they
think
like
it was like Vulcan like inspired.
I just don't know why Vulcans would all be undergoing Pon Far at the same time.
Yeah, I don't understand either. That's why it didn't make sense. Okay, so on Pon Far Night though, that does imply that everyone is either fighting each other or like having sex in the corner.
It's F or F. Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
Jesse's getting all anti-blue humor now. All of a sudden, F or F. You mean fight or fuck?
Yes.
Fuck or fight?
Yes.
We must not negotiate with these creatures.
Number seven, final one.
All right.
Chakotay 47 Alpha 612.
And that is his registry, his Starfleet registry number?
Yeah. Which must be like just when he joined Voyager.
So that was definitely a thing.
It was indeed.
All
right. That was a good list. Are there any bonus items on that list?
Starfleet service, it's a service number.
Mm-hmm.
47 Alpha 612. Okay, those were all the lists. So can you guess which? There's no way in hell you even remember any of them to guess which. I'll just tell you what I deemed important.
I think the Harry Kim one, and then one of the other ones.
You don't even remember what the last one we just talked about. You guys are hopeless.
No, the last one was
we should prepare for the worst.
You played the clip.
Something's wrong.
You played the clip of Tucker Smallwood saying something. Was that related to the list?
was... Don't get sassy with me, young lady.
Admiral, what was his name? Admiral.
What are you trying to prove, young lady?
No, that's Mr. Hand.
I'll knock you right on your human butt.
Indeed, I bet you will.
Okay, you don't remember anything about Ponfar Night? You don't remember anything talking about Ponfar Night just now?
Oh, yeah, Ponfar.
You didn't think that was interesting?
Yeah.
I remember...
At least in relation to the rest of the things on that list.
I remember years ago on the podcast, Jesse was talking about something about Ponfar up all up in your butt or something.
What? What? That has nothing to do with what I just said.
No, I talked about it like a...
Did you forget that
virtual
the
colon?
Not only did you forget,
oh yeah, the colonoscopy.
Not only did you forget every single thing on the list, you forgot that I just asked what do you think were the two most interesting things on the list, because you're starting talking about like Ponfar up the butt or whatever you were saying. Just
Ponfar was interesting, and Harry Kim modifying his tricorder to be all
like Harry Kim.
Ponfar was interesting, but I disagree. What do you think, Jesse? Do you have an answer?
What was the question?
How many times do I have to ask a question before it'll be recognized as a question?
How many times? I don't know.
None of you get to get on my case for repeating myself, ever. Because I know that when you guys are talking while I'm talking, you're not hearing. You're not hearing.
I'm trying, dude.
You hear bits and pieces, and then when you hear me, you repeat it. You hear me say those bits and pieces, and you're like, your mind is like, oh, he must be repeating what he just said. But
it's
you
the
don't
fragmentation
actually...
of contemporary life.
Wait. You hear these... pieces of what I said, but and you just, your brain tells you, oh, he's repeating what he just said. But the thing is you don't actually know what I just said. You calculate that I am repeating myself, but you don't know what I said.
What I do know is that you said
fair
bits
enough.
And pieces, and that immediately made me take a portion of your last name and imagine that you had like a ventriloquist dummy cat, and that you went on the road, and the act was called Bits and Pieces. The cat
bits.
The puppet,
your bits.
The cat puppet is named Pieces, and your bits. And so you're like, hey, Bits and Pieces. And, meow, get a load of this.
This is irrelevant.
You gotta fight this guy.
Get a load of this, meow. I don't know. I can't come up with the...
You should fight it.
With the jokes on the fly.
Yikes.
Excellent list.
Oh, I was gonna tell you what the correct answer was.
All right, thank you.
The Ponfar Night was, yes, one of the interesting ones. Okay. The Harry's Enhanced Tricorder was not that interesting. Right. The Klingon Martini was the most other interesting thing on the list because it actually had some lore value.
I agree with that.
Now, what actually made up a Klingon Martini was not that interesting, but the fact that we now know what a Klingon Martini at least is in San Francisco.
I do like it, although...
Klingons are not drinking a Klingon.
Yeah, no,
they're
not. It feels a little like cultural appropriation, and I have cultural.
Well, so is Ponfar Night.
Well, no, yes.
According to you guys.
No. Yes, but
no. Yes, but no.
With the caveat, there's a caveat there, which is the way the Klingon Martini was described. I think I agree with Jesse. It's fair to assume that probably most Klingons aren't into that version of it, and. To call it a Klingon martini when it's just got one small Klingon component, I don't know if that's
fair. It's like it might as well have been like cayenne pepper.
I think that's going a little far. Ponfar Night, it all hinges on whether or not Vulcans are like running the show or not. If Vulcans are running Ponfar Night, awesome.
But so you think Vulcans could be running Ponfar Night, but Vulcans don't actually take part in Ponfar Night?
I think Vulcans... do a lot of shit where they make up certain shit. Just they say they can't lie. Of course they can lie. They say they're not sarcastic. They're fucking sarcastic all the fucking time. And they're all like, oh, Ponfar every 7 years. Yeah, okay, maybe every 7 years they're like compelled to have sex. They like banging the rest of the time. That we have evidence of that. So I could see them.
Evidence.
I could see them using Ponfar Night to get all those curious humans who are all like, I want to see what it's like. I want to see what it's like to get down with a Vulcan. Get down with a Vulcan.
Feel that?
Yeah.
So okay. Okay, so
duty anyway, or no duty?
So Ponfar Night is not actual Ponfar. It's what we've settled.
I'm guessing not.
I mean,
it's
I don't know.
It's a themed.
I feel like Ponfar has potential to be kind of like appropriate.
Potential. I agree. Potentially. I think the Klingon thing more likely so. Mm-hmm. All right. Duty or no duty?
Okay. Duty or no duty?
I get off duty at 1900 hours.
Ah. All right, let's play that.
Duty at 1900. Duty at 1900. Duty at 1900. I get off duty at 1900 hours.
I mean, it's close, but it sounds like a duty. Oh, so I'm going to say a no duty.
I'm going to. I will. second.
You guys are fucking crazy.
I get off duty at 1900 hours. Duty at 1900. Duty at 1900.
If this isn't duty, I don't know what is.
Do you think that, like, maybe you lost some audio resolution?
I could ask the same of you. I don't understand.
You were in a punk rock band for all those years, and I'm just. Yeah, I mean,
it
so
hurts
was
your hearing.
So was Jesse.
I know.
No, my hearing is damaged.
Duty at 1900.
I don't understand how you could not hear.
I hear the T.
I do not hear the T.
I think you've got, like, 320 by 280 resolution.
I think you're into duty,
audio resolution.
Man. I think you have a problem with defecation.
I wish there was an easy way to look up duty and Cisco, because I remember Cisco had a really clear duty once that I wanted
well,
to play.
Well, sure. Sometimes
yes,
it's very clear.
Section duty officers, please.
This is
your first duty.
This is
relieved of duty.
Give me holodeck waste removal duty.
Been removed from duty.
Without duty roster.
That's a good one.
That's a duty.
Without duty roster.
Yeah, it's well, all duty, baby.
Without duty roster.
That's Picard, of course.
Without duty roster.
Okay, that... Okay, you heard me play that one, right? So now you have to hear me play.
Duty at 1900.
That's total do.
Okay, so I don't disagree that one is more
I don't
acute.
Disagree that you feel that way.
One is more acute than the other, and the one you've played for this week is close. It is a close call, but I still hear that T. Oh I still God. Hear the staccato.
Yeah.
The staccato
it's
is
in there.
There.
I don't think you guys have good hearing.
But
all right. And then that's an order? Was there, what was there?
Well,
it's
not
yeah,
that's an order.
Yeah, what's the not that's an order? Not an order.
Boothby goes, here. I knew this reunion would be a fiasco, Admiral. And then Janeway says, Seven, disarm the warheads. And then Seven goes, Captain. And she goes, do it.
Ah.
That she could have said, instead of do it, she could have said, that's an order.
Yeah,
but she didn't.
That's
she said,
good one. That's a good one.
Do it.
See, that's all it takes. Yeah. Just switch it up a little like that. It's not complicated. Just that alone, mm-hmm. instead of saying that's an order, to me, it's less corny.
She was like, listen to what I said.
To me, it's less corny and thus more believable.
Yeah, great. No, I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm glad
because
that
she shouldn't have to say that. So
I'm glad
because
it's easy to say when things are wrong, but it's more difficult to say like what's right.
Yeah,
you know. And so I like that I can express what I feel to be correct, as opposed to just saying what I feel to be wrong. Because you can walk around going, "That's stupid," and "That's stupid,"
enough,
and "That's stupid." Well, what are we? How are you going to get your thing if we don't have that stupid thing? It's like it doesn't matter. It's stupid. They should think of something else.
Yeah. How will
it's
you?
It's like,
get
why
your
don't
thing?
You think of something else? They don't pay me to do that. They don't pay you to do anything, motherfucker. It's like I don't care. Fuck you.
All right. So, in conclusion, it's a fun episode. It's an interesting story. I think there are a couple of weak points. The chemistry between Chakotay and Valerie Archer.
I want to make it clear that I am not trying to besmirch anyone who does not earn an income. That was not my intention.
Oh, I don't.
I would never have thought that.
Not entirely clear where that's coming from. I presume it's based off of something he said previously.
I just said, like, nobody pays you to do anything. Fuck you.
Oh, okay.
And so I didn't want people to think that because you don't get an income,
that's a stretch.
That makes you not worthwhile. That's not what. That's not the context I was going for.
I'm not sure if anyone would have interpreted it that way, but good thing just
because
to
it
cover
was
your
just
most
like,
people think you're a good fellow. Yeah. So I don't think
it's just in this case, this person, a straw man, I guess it would be, said, like, they don't pay me to do that. And that person's like, well, they don't pay you to do anything. It was more like, you know.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So another weakness, I think, of this episode as we conclude our discussion.
Conclude?
Is
closing time.
The ending is sort of rushed and has the flavor of making sense, where they're all talking. And
it just was kind of a discussion.
Right.
It's just kind of like, let's talk for
and
a while.
And it just sort of everything worked out exactly in the favor of Janeway.
It turned into like Star Trek, like, let's make peace.
And it wasn't well motivated from the characterizations of these people, of everyone involved. I wasn't too happy with, but other than that, fun story, you know.
And
effort.
And it made even less sense when you don't remember seeing the previous episodes because you know that there's something that Federation did, the Starfleet
these
did.
These guys are scary.
There's something Starfleet did that pissed off the 8472.
Well,
but we don't know. But we don't know what it is. And that's why at the end they're having this discussion, because Starfleet's like, oh, we didn't know that. We didn't mean to. We thought we were doing the right thing. And they're like, well, you weren't doing the right thing. That's basically what it was. And then they came to an agreement. And we I mean, that's kind of implied based upon all the dialogue referenced from the other episodes, but it's not explicitly stated. And it's just still a little confusing because it doesn't really, it's like, how did they resolve? They basically resolve it by what I just said. She's like, we didn't mean to fuck with you. And he's like, well, you did. And then they say some stuff. And then I guess like they become friends.
I think this episode maybe would have worked better if instead of Chakotay, it was Tom Paris. And if they had actually gone a little harder on the romance angle.
Well, wasn't he dating B'Elanna at the time?
Yeah.
But B'Elanna's not on it.
Yeah, well, yeah, first of all, there's that.
B'Elanna's on it.
You know, and Harry Kim Harry Kim would be another option. I think going harder on the romance angle, even if it was not...
The last 8472 I met tried to dissolve me from the inside out.
Even if it wasn't a real romance, if it was a one-sided from the alien side of it, I could see you could have some humor with Harry in there. I mean,
Harry humor.
I don't know. Chakotay, I don't know. It didn't entirely work for me. No. But otherwise, it was fun.
Yeah.
And glad we got to watch this episode. Glad the algorithm came up with it.
There was this whole side thing going on where Seven was all like, fuck these, they deserve to die because they suck. And Janeway's like, no, you got to chill with that.
It's a fun little storyline. Mm-hmm. Good lesson in you're not quite ready to command yet, Seven.
Oh, and Seven had like a different uniform.
Yeah, she went through a few different.
And there's ones. two like cliched sort of mentions in this episode related to humanity. One was the typical alien assessment of humanity. Archer goes, at first glance, the humans, are so primitive. Genetic impurities, no telepathy, violent, and yet they've created so many beautiful ways to communicate their ideas. Literature, art, music. You know, and like that's like along the lines of what you hear about. Oh, humans are creative. Humans are curious. Yeah. Like that's what they always talk about. The good
humans
part of
humans are afraid.
And then the other one was they mentioned World War III. They always got to mention World War III.
World War III.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's
you can't have Star Trek.
Coming
an unfortunate exception.
Coming up soon.
yeah. Right.
All
right,
so that does it for our discussion of In the Flesh. Dan's algorithm has been kind enough to suggest for us next week to discuss. So, apologize for the way I constructed that sentence.
Cat got your tongue?
Indeed it did.
Keep talking, son.
Dan's algorithm has told us that next week we're going to discuss the Deep Space Nine episode Resurrection.
Yes,
which is another mirror episode. I think it's probably not the best of these episodes, but it should be fun. We're looking forward to it. I always love watching Deep Space Nine. It's my favorite of all the Star Trek series.
It's really, it's one of my, it's up there, that and TNG. TNG edges out a little bit more for me, probably because of some nostalgia factor.
Absolutely. I love TNG.
But also TNG makes it so comfy. It's very comfy.
DS9 can be challenging sometimes.
DS9 is amazing.
Which you're not always in the mood for. Yeah.
So, I mean, even though I tend to prefer TNG a little, there's a lot about DS9 that's much better than TNG. Yeah. So it's like neck and neck. Right. I had to play this one. They were talking about
conference rooms and consoles.
Yeah,
that sounds like some kind of pen and paper D&D style game.
Yeah.
Hey Jesse, you want to go to my place and play some
conference rooms and consoles?
I did.
Consoles.
If you're brewing some tea,
I thought that was like a futuristic Staples or Office Depot type store.
Conference rooms and consoles.
Oh yeah, could be.
Conference rooms and consoles. Conference rooms and consoles.
Pottery Barn, Bed Bath and Beyond. Conference rooms and consoles.
Conference rooms and consoles.
They have scones.
Okay, so that's enough from us this week. So next week, Resurrection. Come back, listen to that. I think it's going to be a little bit tighter of a podcast episode.
Evidence,
because we were crazy this week,
Chief O'Brien.
But we hope you had fun. We certainly did. So if you want to email us feedback at discussstartrek.com,
feedback.
Go to our website www.discussstartrek.com.
Smile when you meet the god.
Patreon.com/discussstartrek. If you would like to give us money for extra silly content,
it's not that much money.
Sound effect.
Look at her. All gussied up to look like a human being.
There we go.
When she said,
what are you
live long
about?
And prosper.
When she said that?
Live long and prosper.
Did she sound a little snotty when she said it?
She did sound snotty.
A little snotty.
Okay, social media at It's Got Star Trek, Blue Sky, Mastodon. Oh, by the way, Mastodon, we got a big following on Mastodon. We don't mention it enough.
Sorry.
Special shout out to Elena, who's always reposting our stuff and liking our stuff. Thank you so much, Elena. We really appreciate it. And all the other folks on Mastodon, Blue Sky, Threads, Blue Instagram, Sky. Facebook, YouTube. Come join us in all those places.
Feedback.
Subscribe to us on YouTube. It helps us out if you give us a subscription. It's not going to impact you at all.
Clickety-click.
If you don't want to listen to us on YouTube, just give us a subscription. That'd be fun. Why not?
Clickety-click.
All right. So
we've got the real McCoy here. We might as well take advantage of it.
We'll talk to you again this time next week. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
It's Pon Far Night at the Vulcan Nightclub.
Ambassador Neelix.
It's Neelix, sir.
Neelix. You'll be joining the lieutenant.
He'll familiarize you with our environmental control technology.
Wonderful. I look forward to hearing your perspective on Vulcans.